Let me ask a couple of questions before we do this session. So how many people know Dynamics AX 2012 R3? Yeah, almost everybody. That's very good. Because this is the new version of the AX, the AX7. We did quite a bit of presentations in the past, including the dedicated trainings in Redmond in the past. So today I'm going to more focus on the new 7.1 release, what changed, the new pieces we added in, and also from extensibilities for all different modules, and what we need to focus on. So that's pretty good. Let's get started. So for the session, the key takeaway, one is really understand the architecture, especially for the new Dynamics 365 for operation. It really is AX. The new AX 7.1, what additional changes we are offering. And second, understand the extensibility model and for all different modules. And their key takeaways. And again, you know, in the past several years, we've tried to build this unified commerce solution. And that's still our vision. We continue to use one generic platform built on top of CRT, built on top of retail server to deliver all different channels, including retail, e-commerce, and the call center. So I probably showed this picture, I don't know, for the past 5 years. And that's still the same. You know, you have a CRT for mobile, for store, for e-commerce, for call center. And so this didn't go that far. And so for AS7, when you think about it, there are really two parts. There are cloud services, which is on top. This is the top in Microsoft Azure. And bottom part is the channels, that including stores and including e-commerce. And call center actually is part of the AX in the cloud. So what difference from the initial February RTW? It's this module here. So we, based on the feedback, let me think, is that February? We did a retail conference in Redmond. And we're asking about, do you guys want to have a cloud scale out unit? Or you want to have the in-store on-prem a hybrid unit? And I think majority of the people raised hand to say they want to have the hybrid unit, which is, can be deployed on-prem. And that is the module we're shipping as part of the near release of 7.1. So we have this what we call retail store skill unit. It's a hybrid module and deployed into the store. So apparently, you continue to have modem pulse, you continue to have cloud pulse and the hardware station. And in this model here, you can also run in your cloud pulse from within the store. So we're going to have quite a bit more discussion for that. And by the way, today I have lots of demos, and see I can fit into this hour and 15 minutes. Cloud components, we have retail HQ. And for AX, mostly this is kind of browser-based. How many people actually have experience for the new AX, the cloud version? OK, great. So that really is a browser-based. You don't have to set up the AS client anymore. It's using a browser to connect it to the back office. And it's HTML, JavaScript, using S++. So basically, in the retail HQ, you can do merchandising, channel management, all these different things you already know. And then we have the CDX. Even the CDS pieces, doesn't exist as services itself anymore. In R3, you have CDS async. In R3, you have CDS real-time services. As a separate server, you set it up. But for AS7, you don't have to do that anymore. They are all incorporated into the cloud footprint, either as part of the AOS services or as part of the retail server services. So for, retail server, and we, in the cloud, we deploy also retail server. And their IIS based is OData V4, and nothing changed over there. It hosts a CRT. Everything is inside the CRT. Cloud Pulse, just using the same code base we have for modern Pulse, and we deliver that in the cloud. Then you can run your point of sale from the browser. So this is the different pieces in the cloud. If you look at the topology in the cloud, this is actually what you got when you provision a high HA, high available environment in the cloud for production. So there will be different VMs here, probably one or n number of VMs based on the performance requirements you have or plus the load. And then for each VMs, you have AOS web services, retail server, cloud pulse deployed on each of these VMs. And that's your middle tier. And very important, actually, you probably see I write it out down here, the TLS 1.2. And for, you probably all know, as a requirement for PCI, any TLS 1.0 or SSL 3.0 cannot be used. They're not secure. And therefore, in our system down here, we lock down to only TLS 1.2. For the DB, we connect to the SQL Azure. So this is kind of the topology you have in the Microsoft Azure cloud. And there's a little bit difference that you probably see on the left side. There's Azure Application Request Router or Azure Load Balancer. For AX requests, if you're using a browser, the request is going to the what we call this ARR, because the AX session is more like a sticky session. If you request going to one front-end AOS machines, it has to go back to the same machine because it caches a large amount of session information. But for retail server, all the requests, or cloud pulse, all the requests goes into the Azure load balancer because retail server itself is stateless. Every single request and can be handled and finished. That's kind of the topology. Because these sessions mostly focus on the extensibility. And then you all know probably for AX HQ, you do the S++. Retail server is a C# based. You can customize the entity. You can do actions or controllers. And CDS is just a configuration, for data movement, you're using the configuration file to say what data you can move in and out. For RTS, it's just S++ class, because there's a SQEX, invoke EX method you can call in. CRT is embedded inside the retail server. That's where all the different, plugins, we call services or workflow, you can customize. And Cloud Pulse, just the website, just HTML, JavaScript. Then channel DB is just, tables and stored procedures. But the key principle down here, because the more and more we see their issues when we, when you work with our customers, it's the cost of doing the customization. Not only the very first time, because the first time you do a inline modification of the code, and then anytime Microsoft issue a hotfix, and you have to do a code merge. And that's very costly. And the customer has to pay the bill for that. And what is the best practice here? You really have to kind of changing the traditional way doing the inline, including the modern pulse, to change to more on a code separation. So you keep your extensibility in a different DLL and not modify the Microsoft DLL. So when we change things, we can just freely to drop the DLL, the Microsoft DLL into the environment. And then you don't have to do a code merge. Frankly, for the immediate release, there's still a lot more Microsoft need to do to support it. For example, we need to start selling the CRT, and nobody can modify inline for CRT. We need to provide a better model for modern pulse to do dynamic binding, because today we give you the modern pulse source code in the retail SDK. When you make modifications, you modify the HTML file, you modify the test script, and that's just all inline. And that has to be changed. So we have to give you TS projects separate, and then the TS project will bring in dynamically, and one where the browser runs, one where the modern pulse runs. There, we still have a long way to go on our side. But one of the key problems here is the code merge cost is substantial here. So that said, for retail server, this is nothing new. Even same as R3, you have the client web API, then you have the CRT in as the core, Then you have the smart redirect, you have the authentication module, and the controllers. Nothing changed from the you know, previous release or even the R3. They are exactly the same. So all these things here, I'm talking about the stateless and the linear scale out. When you add a module, it just increases the capacity. All these are still holding true for the future releases. And we can go a little bit deeper to extensibility here. We did a session actually about a year ago to talk about how you customize the retail server. And basically, retail server is an old data web API. So you can customize the old data based API. You can define your own entities, or you can modify the existing entities in such a way you don't have to do code merge. And anything you modify on the old data is surfaced through the metadata. If you do the metadata, you can see all the definitions. And you can also expand the web API. In that case, it's more direct. You don't have to maintain metadata. Maybe there are certain functions you want to implement that you don't want the user to see exposed on the metadata. You can use web API for that. So we're going through some demos. The interfaces. This is kind of the old data web API interface. One is the iCommerce controller. One is the IEMD model factory and web API config. This is the interface you're going to use. Really didn't change much from we had previously. So I'm going to switch over to. Let me ask another question. How many developers here or technical people? Developers or technical people?
Technical?
Yeah. You can write code? Okay, great. So then I'm going to jump in more onto this side. So so first of all, you're all going to get this something called the retail SDK, right? So when you for AS, you got this. This is where you do all your development. And when you copy to a folder in you start the MS build, in the root folder, you can do a MS build, and everything will be compiled. So this is the vanilla when we give you the sample code. And you can do the MS build to compile all the projects. So in here, there's a sample extensibility. We talk about retail server. There are a couple of examples were written recently. One is the store hours sample here. Let me see, I have that open here. So you can see this is defining an entity, a new entity. You define the controller for that, for the store hours. Then you inherit from the commerce controller. So then this way it surfaces on the old data web API. And then you say, define the one method called guest store, days, guest store days by store. And then in here, you can kind of creating a commerce runtime object and doing the execution and process result is returned. The key down here is really kind of, inherit from this class, define this method here. And a couple of things here you probably want to know. You do want to control the permissions because retail server today is being used by multiple different channels. One is used by the store, right? The store means the point of sale solution. It also can be used by e-commerce. In the e-commerce can be an anonymous checkout. It can be a customer named customer checkout. When you define new API, you want to change limited the roles and permission. You can do that by specifying the attribute here. So basically, you can define the different roles. You can select from that, either anonymous, application, or customer, device, employee, and different type of role permissions. We're doing the authorization after the authentication. So we also need to define that in the factory here. And so this is inherited from the commerce model factory. And doing this, you after compile, you're going to have an object, which is, you can use that from the old data. for that. Switch back. So all this code is inside the retail SDK. You already have that. For CRT, again, this is nothing changed from the RTW, right? The different color means whether they're platform agnostic or not. And for the green color, and we make it portable, both the plugins, the message, and the workflows and runtime, they're all portable. And definitely there are platform specific stuff. For example, the SQL Lite connection or connecting with SQL databases, they're platform specific. Then we expose all these different services or plugins. We just keep adding more and more. So you can, for example, address the barcodes and cards, and you can override and customize them. But more important is you have to keep your DLL separate, give a different name, and then add that DLLs to the commerce runtime configuration for that same interface you implemented. There are definitely different ways to do that. And one is to say you can inherit from the Microsoft classes, and then for lots of functions, you can call the base, then bring the, you know, the data back, and then do the manipulation needed. And some other ways to we support is the pre-action or post-action. If you implement the pre-action interface or the post-action interfaces, when we start running our code, we're going to call into your DLLs to process the, for example, if you have a code to manipulate the request object, or you have a code to change the response object before it's sent back to the client, that can be used for the pre-action and post-action. Take one example, for example, gift card in transaction services. And MPOS has a built-in gift card functionality, for example, from issue a gift card to redeem or check the balance. But that calls back into the built-in AX gift card services by using the transaction services, the real-time services. And that is exposed as part of the gift card, the transaction services. If you want to implement connections to other systems, for example, a third-party gift card system, either GiveX or something, the changes code is overriding this gift card DLL, and then to put that in, so that implement that interface, you can have your own gift card. We also expose the press engine as a simple code, and if you want to have modify that, and that can be done too. Plus, there's a lot of data services. For each connections to the databases, we offer that as a services, and data access to the either SQLite or SQL Server. So that said, I'm going to show you where the code is by switching over here in the sample code. So this is the commerce runtime. All the services are listed, are defined in here. The source code's in there. The key down here is when you're creating DLLs, different name, and don't change the Microsoft DLL, don't use the Microsoft DLL name. Keep it separate. The services, anything in transaction services, and the one we talk about gift card is under payments. You have a gift card or credit memo, and simply just modify the code down here, then you can support the different codes. For example, get issue a gift card or get a balance or reload gift cards. That sort of thing. Yeah, so this is the where the code is for a commerce runtime. In the retail SDK, we also provide some examples of how exactly you can extend the commerce runtime. So this is the sample code we provided. Remember in the beginning, the first demo, we'll talk about the store hours. The store hours entity is also extended down here, defined down here. if you think about the relationship between CRT and retail server, retail server literally don't have really the business logic. All the business logic is inside the CRT. You build over there. And retail server is just the router authentication module to bridge the request from the MPOS into the CRT. So let's talk about the store components. As part of the RTW, then we have modem POS, cloud POS, client, hardware station in the store. And like I said, you know, in the new 7.1, we're introducing this, the store system. What we call is the retail store scale out unit. And that bring in the channel databases that bring in the retail server, cloud POS. Also, if you remember R3, you have a CDS async client. You also have the CDS async client now. Then all this customization is pretty much the same as before. So what exactly we try to solve down here with this store system? I think that loud and clear, there are lots of customers that may not have really a reliable internet connectivities. Right? And they may not have a bandwidth, their speed might be slow, and plus they want to have, you know, operations between register. Because for RTW, we have a point of sale, it can have offline, you can, you know, enable the offline, transaction can go to local databases on that register, but one support is between the two registers, how do you suspend one, resume to another one. So we have one customer, you know, they're in the restaurant business, they really kind of want this type of solution. And plus, they really like to have the cloud POS browser in the store so they can continue to have a very simple light client. Just launch the browser, go to the URL, logging in, authenticate it, then you can, you know, run using the POS solution. So this, the store scale out unit can be one box, can be multi-box. Just like the modem POS or, you know, the hardware station, we make a self-services, right? You run the download, and same here. You can go to AX, download package, download the configuration, run it. It prompts you for a couple of questions, and it's going to deploy for you. We'll do all the configuration. I was actually planning to show you how to set it up, and I can run the store system setup one box in about 5 minutes. You can deploy the store system. And it's pretty straightforward. So another key point down here is the system, the scale out unit, is really symmetric. It's really symmetric to what we deployed in the cloud. The same retail server in the cloud, in the Microsoft Azure, or in the store, is exactly the same. From modern POS perspective, the only difference is the URL. Authentication will be the same. Data will be the same. You truly can scale out for that. So that's why any customization you have for today, for AX, for the store system will be exactly the same. Nothing new. There's one thing you need to remember, actually, how this, you know, CDS calling back to AX. And we are implying to use the service-to-service authentication using the Azure Active Directory service-to-service authentication. You have a question? Yeah.
Do you support hybrid scenarios where, like, we want some stores to be on-premise and others to be in the cloud?
Yeah, the question is, do we support hybrid, some on-prem, some on the cloud? That's exactly what we want to support. That's exactly what we support. Imagine if I have, 500 stores. You can have, you know, certain maybe 10, 20 stores that are really big. They're in the rural area. You know, they don't have connectivity. You can deploy the store system. You know, I can deploy in 5 minutes. You know, I think you guys can do that too. And once it's deployed, and for that 5, 10 stores, all the other stores continue to run from the cloud system. I'm going to go through that to do a demo for that, to show that to you. So retail modern POS quickly goes through this. This is not changing, still the same. You can dig back to all these previous slides or presentations. They're exactly the same. There's a view model controller, HTML-based, and there's an IPC-based hardware station, IPC-based CRT. Then you can connect to the retail server in the cloud or using the local CRT or using hardware station locally or using the shared hardware station. I have a couple other slides that go through that. And what different models you have. We also start building this hyper app. Hyper app means they can run on different platforms, running on Android iOS. So this is something new we're introducing as part of the upcoming release. And CDS offline. This is this didn't change from RTW. It's just how data got downloaded to the offline. If you have retail server in the cloud or retail server on-prem in the hybrid model, modern POS data, the offline data, using the exactly same way to download the data, which is coming from the Azure Blob storage, upload the data through retail server. If you have retail server locally deployed in your store, the transaction will go from the offline modern POS to the channel DB in the store, and then the P job by using CDS client gonna upload back into AX. If you have a modern POS offline connected to the retail server in the cloud, and the transaction will go back to the retail server in the cloud, the channel DB, and then P job will send it into the AX client for end of day. So exactly the same. That didn't change here. Hardware station, this is very much the same as the RTW release. The customization, everything is the same, except that we make quite a bit of simplification. You know, we used to have something called the hardware station tab. It's very confusing with the hardware profile, right? There's a hardware profile, there's a hardware station tab. We make some simplification on that. If I have time, I can show that to you. So in store, this is a different type of the hardware station when you connect to peripherals. And definitely there's a direct connection. For example, the left one, this can be modern POS with IPC-based direct connect to these peripherals. It can be network addressable, lots of things like that. For example, the payment devices from wire phone is basically connected through the IP address. And you can have cloud POS to use hardware station. There are multiple cloud POS, shared hardware station, shared peripherals. That can be another model. And then point of services, leverage that API. That will be direct. For example, if I have point of services or barcode scanner, you can plug into the modern POS. It's going to work right away. So this is interesting. So this is where I talk about address the if I talk about too fast or something, this probably give you a clear picture. The different type stores you can deploy. One type, cloud only. Basically, they're just, everything retail server is all in the cloud. You just run the cloud POS in browser. That's it. You can have a store like that, okay? And if you don't have a drawers or anything, you can even do a keyboard wedge MSR or something if it's for some of the business. They're just going into the you swipe the card number here or enter that into here. We're going to talk about payment later. I need to check time. So this is one type. And a little bit more on that, you can have a cloud POS plus hardware station in the store. And that solves a bit more problem because now you can connect to a drawer, connect to payment devices. This is the multiple IE of Chrome and Google Chrome based browser connecting to one station, which is connected to the peripheral. So now even do more to say now you want to have some offline. So now you can have a modern POS added into the store. Besides, you can continue have this. You can add a modern POS into the store and enable the offline. It's simply just like. Enable offline is nothing more than just go to the register to edit. There's the offline yes or no. Doing that, the magic gonna happen. That's all you need to do, and then the offline will happen automatically. So now we're talking about the scale out unit, the what we call RSU, retail store scale unit. If you have connectivity issues, you can even deploy the store system in here, that including the retail server and Clubhouse and Channel DB, async client. That's what we talk about. It's kind of build that more and more and to all the different flexibilities we offer based on what the customer really needs. Customization, this didn't change from previously. You know, retail server, CRT, in the cloud, on-prem, exactly the same. Modern POS, you know, HTML, JavaScript, right? So we're going to look at the retail store skill unit and also the hardware station sample code. So, okay. So first, when you jump into answer the question. So I have, for example, I have a store. I really like this feature. I can just, you know, search here. Houston, I want to, you know, using POS directly connected to Microsoft Cloud, Azure. But for Boston, I want to, you know, make that as a, using the store system. So what you truly need to do is just define the channel profile, define the channel databases. If you go to the channel DB, you need to define a new channel DB. Remember in R3, if you have a store, you define channel DB. That's what you need to do. Define channel DB, and in the channel DB, this is channel profile, sorry. Define the channel DB, you specify which Boston store are gonna be using these channel databases, and then you specify which package, which store system the retail hyper, the retail store skill unit package you're gonna use. Because over time, you might have a different version of package. Different store might use a different version. You can specify here in the bottom part. You select that, you say, you know, for this channel DB, it's gonna be the Boston, and once you define that, you can run the full sync, select the 999, you want to send every piece of data down. So this is the pieces you do in the AI side, okay? Yeah, plus you have to do the channel profile. Compared to the default one, this is our demo data. The default one has a retail server which is in the cloud, the media server in the cloud, and the cloud house in the cloud. And for this store, I call A11A, which is my local machine. It can be a local retail server, local cloud house, you just define the channel. And both are associated into here, the live channel databases, the channel profile. Now you're done the configuration in the AI side. And then from here, let me cancel out, you do a download. You download, for example, now I want to deploy the store system to my, you know, whatever this store, you know, the Seattle store. I just download the configuration, I download the file, and that two files, I save that into a folder. Then I run this setup ESE. During this setup, you're gonna ask me what certificates I'm gonna use, right? To, you know, the, because you need to be HTTPS. What client ID, the Azure Active Directory client ID secret you're gonna use to connect back to AX. So that piece, actually, you do need to go to your AAD account, go to Azure to create a new, you know, client app and generate a secret and paste in. So this is we enable service-to-service authentication. We cannot do authentication based on the cashier. We cannot do authentication doing certificate because managing certificate is super difficult. Managing the service-to-service with a client ID with a secret is a much easier direct way. That's a standard way across a lot of services, including the Office 365. So that's how you need to enter that two pieces value in from the, you know, the Azure Active Directory. And then one last thing you need to do is in the back office AX, you specify that client ID is acting as this user, the retail service account. We recommend you do not share the client ID because for security reason, right? If you have a two physical store you're deploying, the hybrid model, we recommend you have two different client ID, then you need to add them into here, okay? Because if one got compromised, only one store you need to change. You don't have to change both. So once that's done, you literally, if I go to the, you know, the downloads sessions, right? Anytime you run the job, the async, do I have my services? So this is the store system async client. When it runs, it will call back in to download all this package. Again, this is based on Delta package. Anytime you make a change, for example, you change some of the hardware profile, the Delta package generated, you can download it to your store system, your you know, system in the cloud, you know, the channel DB in the Microsoft cloud, or even the offline. All this is done automatically to you, for you. So this is kind of all the magic. And then you can launch modern PaaS to enter the, you can use the self-services package for modern PaaS, and you enter the URL of the local retail server, then you do the activation, then you're done. Same thing for Clubhouse. And there's a slightly additional step needed for Clubhouse because the redirect URL coming back need to be a known, need to be known IP, you know, domain name. So we're going to provide a very detailed documentation on how you set it up. So this is kind of store system. Once you're done, it's all local because I have the IIS here. Just two web app. Again, the setup to this is, it took me five, 10 minutes. Yeah, you have a question, yes.
You say earlier that we would have the option in this update to have, let's say, one store as a local SQL server, but another store as a separate cloud database that's in a region of Azure closest to that store?
The question is to say, what is the, really the hybrid model going to be? You know, for the upcoming release we're going to have. In the cloud, we still have just the Azure system. We have one, the one we shipped as part of the RTW. We don't have a SQL out unit yet. We actually named it called a Retail Cloud SQL Unit. That one doesn't exist yet. We didn't put our time to implement that. Then we put the time to implement the Retail Store SQL Unit. And each of the unit can be used for one store because you deploy it locally. But technically, just like R3, the channel DB can host data from for multiple channels. If you put that unit load balanced well, because if you do multi-box deployment, it can be shared. It can be shared, but you have to put that into a public website or somewhere, or if they are not domain joined, into a location. But that wouldn't be in the Microsoft Azure. We won't be able to. So the key difference is we have to be really clear. For the Azure component, as part of base AX, we do the servicing, okay? You choose which hotfix you're gonna deploy through LCS. We're taking care of all these key rotations and patchings and, you know, this and that. The store SQL unit, because that's on-prem, and you will have to do the patching on that. If you put that unit in a shared location for multiple regional stores, that patching is still on you on that. So. The question is, the cloud scale unit, is that on the roadmap or not? I cannot comment on that. And I don't know the information for that. That's future release. We haven't even doing the planning for that yet. We're just wrapping up the current release. So this is the, then we can take a look at the hardware station. Going back to here, so here's the hardware station code and the sample code in the retail SDK. Again, do the code separation, doing your customizations. We also give you one example, how do we plan to, you know, one example to how to extend it. Under the sample extension hardware station. This is somewhere we give you one example to say, how do you do the cone dispenser? frankly, this is the, I have a customer, you know, they have needs to connect to a, you know, the check, processing checks. And they're using the same example and to implement that, basically to say in the pause, you define a paycheck button that calling into this module, this DLL. From here, you can go to the check reader, you can go to the calling the processor to process the check. So they can use the same code. The partner currently is working on that, on this code. So switch back. I have to, there's a lot more things I want to talk about it. E-commerce. So kind of added to the e-commerce from, you know, the RTW is we introduced this a consumer shopping app. This is a consumer to browse products and then submit a sales order. Okay? And we, because as Android, iOS, or, you know, we provide the sample code in the retail SDK. We let you to change the theme, change the branding, because this is just our very first release of the consumer app. And when you think about that really just kind of similar to the e-commerce channel, but on a phone, right? Because e-commerce is, you know, you go there, you browse products, you submit the order, and that's a consumer app. Storefront, which is adding additional controls, because all the bots in the demo, in the dev environment or demo environment, we have the all the bots sample storefront there. Again, the architecture is the same as the RTW because every single call, so add item to cart or search product, get price is calling back to the retail server. And that's the single you know, point for you to do customizations. This is the kind of architecture for the consumer app if you want to do extensibility. Again, follow the same view model. And the green one is the platform agnostic. But when you talk about the Android shell or, you know, the UWP is a universal Windows, the, you know, the Microsoft shell to make the Windows phone and the Windows the same. iOS shell. And those are platform specific. So let's look at a little bit of e-commerce. So first of all, e-commerce sample code, the sample storefront is in here, also in the retail SDK. We also provide one example here, how do you customize, if you do customization for the e-commerce storefront and using this sample code here. This is kind of the e-commerce sample storefront. I probably can quickly do a demo on the, you know, doing checkout. So during the checkout, either getting the price or, you know, getting the shipping options, all these are calling into retail server. And then you specify a credit card payment. So this is something I'm going to talk about a little bit later. This is this page here for credit card processing is not part of the e-commerce sample code. It is generated by MasterCard, the MasterCard, you know, the, you know, that one on your credit card. Because they did the, what is this? Sorry. Oh, well. So they did a full integration to Dynamics AX and to providing us the capability to process card not present with a PCI freeway. I have some other slides we can talk about that. Then you can enter the name, the card information to complete the order. So the credit card information actually entered directly into MasterCard. You can submit the order. This is our sample storefront. And I'm going to show you where is the code, the sample code for the shopping app. So underneath, there's Android, there's iOS, there are two projects underneath. Once you have your development environment, you can load the project and build it, and then you can have the consumer shopping app. Okay. I think I'm doing okay for time. So now I'm going to step into a bit more credit card processing. So as part of the kind of, we started this journey working with two partners since the RTW of the AS7, now it's called the Dynamics 365 for operation. And there are two partners to deliver the solution. One is the Verifone, and there are omnichannel solution for US, and currently they're working on Canada. And it's a PCI free by using end-to-end encryption from their device. And second, they do the card present and card not present. And second is the MasterCard solution. They focus on call center e-commerce with a PCI, you know, free solution by using payment accepting page. So more important here is if I switch it here, do a quick demo. So you probably all know this is the accounts receivable setup, the payment processing. Both MasterCard and the Verifone solutions are out of the box. They're just out of the box. And if you want to config for a call center using the MasterCard solution, you give a name, you know, MC2, and you just need to enter the public key and private key. That's it. You enter that. Then you're done. You don't have to deploy anything. They're in the box. And where do you get that account, the, you know, the public key and private key? That's coming from here. There's a sign up URL. This is the simplified commerce from MasterCard. They provide the solution to Microsoft. And worth to note down here, they shipped it to 13 plus country. For example, for US, you can have first data, TSIS, you know, priority, and EVO payment. They keep building this muscle. By the way, there's also the payment provider list page. If you go here, you can go into LCS. I guess this page is a bit cold. Then you can compare the whatever the solution is available, and you can sign up to the solution, including the Verifone solution. So, okay, yeah. Oh, the LCS page. Yes, I'm going back to the LCS page. Right here, yes. Yeah. Yeah, there are only two of them today, and we would really like Verifone to deliver a global solution. And we want MasterCard to deliver a global solution. And we're currently working with them. And MasterCard also investigating, one they can invest into building a card present solution globally. And we're working with their president and to make the business case, you know, on that. And for Verifone, my understanding is that they're currently working on Canada solution based on FivePay. The ETA, I don't have ETA. You cannot call me for ETA. I don't know ETA. Have to ask Verifone. And but that solution, once done, my understanding is can use the Verifone device, also in Genico device for Canada. The question is, any other payment processors or gateways? Verifone gateway. If you leverage Verifone gateway, they do connect it to several different payment gateways, processors. And that just kind of, you have to go from gateway to gateway. The waterfall solution, there are two offers indeed. One is called the Secure Commerce Classic. Another one called the Secure Commerce Enterprise. The Classic going to their payware gateway and then fetch out to go to different payment gateways or processors. And if you search online, you can see there's a clear list of who they connected to. Actually, I think I have that document somewhere. And then also the enterprise. The enterprise is directly connected to First Data, means the cardholder data is leaving the devices, directly going to the First Data Rapid Connect, going to OneTap, going to Chase Payment Tech directly, without going through their gateway. So two different offers they have. And both are EMV ready. Okay? So now the question is to say, yes, I mean, we ship this out of box. I mean, Waterfall shipped it out of box. You know, we redistribute it. But one thing really clear, Waterfall owns the software. They own the servicing. We add it into the box to make sure it's simple to set it up. Because if it take me to deploy their software into the HA environment, multi, you know, retail server VMs or it's work, you know. And once in the box, you just need to config because there's so many locations: the retail server location, AOS location, hardware station location, modem pulse IPC. All these locations you have to get the files. But once we deploy it, include into an environment, the future servicing still need to be done by Waterfall. If there's a hot fix or new version of the software, Waterfall will provide it to the customer, the merchant, and merchant working with the partner to deploy them. So that didn't change. So then going back to here, what if we don't have UK, we don't have a Denmark, we don't have a Germany, what do you do? Actually, that comes down to that, it's still the same, the payment SDK. And this is the link to the document. I intentionally put a link over there because, you know, if I bury it underneath, you won't be able to see it. If you open that, even you search that, search the link. Let me switch over here. I have to open here. If you search, open that doc, this give you the implementing payment connector. This will give you the step-by-step on how you do the payment integration for credit card processing. For the AX, the Dynamics 365, there's the iPayment processing interface, iPayment device interface, it's all documented here. And plus, there's a retail device, there's an e-commerce call center with a browser. You know, how do you do PCI free? And in that, you need to have the payment accepting page with the iframe, and that is also documented in here. More important is, this code is in the SDK. If you go into payments, if you launch this project, I think I probably launched it somewhere. No, I haven't. It gives you the sample code to implementing a payment device with the payment processing. It also gives you the example how you do the accepting page. It's all in here. But we do know, there's some issue for loading the package. We do know when you work with a third-party payment processor, let's say they do have a page already, and they're probably unlikely to implement the Microsoft-required interface and host it on their website. You have to integrate with them. And that is also doable. Typically, that would be either is HTML5 cross-domain messaging, pass data in and out between the iframe, or doing the traditional way of using iframe from the Microsoft domain host the page into the payment processor domain the page, and from there do another iframe into the Microsoft host the page because the first page on the same domain, they can send messages across. So that is the traditional way. We see that that implementation also very possible for that. So the code for Pemia SDK, the documentation's there, the code is there too, so in the retail SDK. So we do not keep that secret anymore. Another important is the PCIP ADSS for AX, for Dynamics 365. Really clear is Microsoft owns the responsibility for the PADSS. That's why you see we're listed with the PCI console as a 3.1 certified. I'm currently working on to say whether we upgrade that to 3.2. And it's valid until 2019. You know, I don't have to do anything because it's already valid to 2019. Between 3.1 to 3.2, the changes mostly are the, you know, the requirement 5 and requirement 7, mostly the procedure related. But based on the PCI requirements, you're probably reading that first line to say, PCI console requires every single customer, all merchants, they need to comply with PCI. We do PADSS, the customer doing PCI. For example, AX, right? The Dynamics 365 in the Microsoft cloud, even is operated by Microsoft, but the responsibility, ownership is the merchant, the customer, because they're doing the payment customization, they uploading code into the Microsoft cloud. Even we operate it for you, but the responsibility still is the merchant. You have to do, you know, annually, and based on either do a self-document, self-assessment questionnaire, there's an SAQ you have to fill it out, depends on the level of merchant you are. This document is the PADS implementation guide. You really should read into this document and follow the steps. Yes, you can use a self-power package to deploy the modem pulse. But do you know you have to turn off some of the Windows 10, you know, Audi lock? It's all document in this document. And if you don't do that, some of the credit card information might be saved into your system. Even you're using accepting page, right? You're using the payment accepting page with iframe. You think that it's going to the different system, but because you're still using the keyboard to type in. So you have to really follow this document. And more important on this document, one piece I think is going to really help you is if you do your own customization, this different cardholder data flow is critically important. We recommend you always do a semi-integration way, means the credit card holder data never ever get into the point of sale system. Okay?
Is this document only available on partner or customer source?
It's downloadable from the website. So
which website?
Microsoft website. How do I close?
Website.
Right here. Oh, sorry. This is public. It's public available. I don't think you need to sign in. You might want to try. I think it's public available, this document. You have tested. Is that in the customer source? Ivan? It's public. Yes, it's public.
Not requiring access to
customers? No. So how do I go next? So I've kind of done my demo already, show you the cardholder data flow. It wouldn't have enough time to go through the details because there's an e-commerce. I will get to your question. There's an e-commerce, there's a call center, the different cardholder data flow, where it goes, whether you're in the PCI scope. My point is that's very important if you do your own customization for payment processing, you want to follow the same thing. Right. One other thing actually very important I want to bring down here. PCI console, they have a program called QIR. Have you guys heard about it? So means everybody implementing a payment application need to be certified by the console. So during the ADSS audit this year, I have to list down who is my resellers, whether they are QIR or not. I checked it. Not all people are QIR yet. You might want to actually learn into that. It's called qualified implementation something, a QIR program from the PCI console. I think so. And let's just say whatever the solution you're implementing, but the bottom line is the solution you're implementing need to be payment application data security certified. I think I need to repeat the question. Is that true for if you do P2PE or you do the tokenization? I think they want the implementer to take the training to understand what is the implication. And they don't have any enforcement yet to say it has to be QIR certified.
Is that in V3.1 of the DSS or 3.0 as well? You know?
It's not in 3.0. It's in 3.1 they're asking that question, but it's not enforced. It's in 3.2, it's not enforced either.
Okay.
There are about 200 of those, that are certified. I checked not a whole lot of Dynamics partner yet. That's one thing. Second thing is the customer requirement actually get more and more stringent because not only they require to say you're PCI free, you use tokenization, they want the deliver partner to be P2PE certified. P2PE certified, I think there are only two partners today does that. FreedomPay, there's another one. I forgot that, only two, and the customers start wanting that. Because means you do tokenization, but in addition is the package got sent over to the customer, need to follow certain requirements. So let me answer your question. The lady sitting over there, I think you have a question. So let me repeat the question. The new payment solution shipped in the box, does that work with the e-commerce call center only, or does that work with the point of sale too? Is that the question?
Yeah, I guess I understand it works with the point of sale and the e-commerce, but does it also work with the call center?
Yes. The answer, MasterCard solution supports the call center, supports e-commerce. Wireless phone solution supports call center, e-commerce, plus point of sale. Point of sale, you have two type of order, which one is the cash carry, second is the special order. Special order means you generated a token from the device, and using that token to do fulfillment when you do the invoicing, you know, post the invoice as part of the AR and the day process, and when you post the invoice. So both are supported. If you want the customer order with a wire phone solution, you will have to use the Secure Commerce Classic because the Secure Commerce Enterprise, the token will be issued by, for example, First Data, TransArmor token, and wire phone wouldn't be able to pass through that token through their gateway. So there's a little bit of gotcha point on that. I'm working with both Wirefon and MasterCard to do the QA document to list down all these questions you're asking. Yeah. So onto this slide, we did the demo. And so kind of closing this, there's a document called the name we should change to Dynamics 365. It's a retail SDK handbook. And also the sample extension, sample project. If I go to that, it's really in here. You go to the retail SDK, go to documentations. This is that document. If I haven't leverage this document yet, and this is like a 50-page plus document, talk about all different areas, the different aspects, and there's lots of good information here. So this is one. And also, there are detailed documentations to say, if you do, for example, store hours, I show you the code on how to implement the retail server controllers, the CRT entity. But if you want to run that end-to-end, from AX to define the store hour information with the data in the AX data in the Dynamics 365 database, in the building the form, and that give you a documentation talk about how you do that end-to-end. So that side. Since I have a bit more time, let me, you're also asking questions along the way. I will show you the call center. So let me refresh here. Yeah, for example, I want to, you know, in the call center, I create a sales order. Enter item. So assuming I have a customer on the call, I click complete. This is running from my demo one box. It's not a HA environment. It's a single box environment. So here, you can see the payment section. I can add a payment. If there's a pre-existing payment, the customer, let's say I enter a MasterCard, I can select from the drop-down. If you don't have anything, I can do entering that credit card number. So this page here, if you look at the source of the page, it coming from MasterCard, okay? And then you enter the card information. I think this is a good card number. And click OK. Submit order. And this is the kind of call center module, you know, you can, you know, if you have a customer on file already, enter the item and taking credit card and done. Then the order is gonna be authorized and submitted it. Then you can do the picking, packing. Another thing I want to show you here is, this is a clubhouse. And this is modern pause. they're exactly the same. And so this is a kind of also using the MasterCard solution in the point of sale. For certain customers, if they don't want to pay for the expensive devices, they can have this embedded page. You can key in or using a keyboard wedge to swipe your card number into this field on that. One thing I want to make really clear here, for the new version of this Dynamics 365 modern POS or cloud POS, if you have a hardware station paired, either the local one or the remote shared one, we never ever let you to enter a credit card number in the point of sale. Okay? The card number should be entered into the payment device to maintain PCI free. Okay? But if you want to open that up to say let them to enter that card number in that point of sale, that becoming customization. You have to change the code. The question is, if you enable them entering the card number, you know, let's say in the modern POS when you have a hardware station paired, whether or not to put the customer in the PCI scope, I would say both point. They enter or don't enter, they're in the PCI scope. Okay? If they enter, they're in the severe PCI scope. If they don't enter, they can say, I'm using hosted somewhere, you know, I don't deal with it. But they're still, right? Remember, even in this here, you are enter on this device, right? It's going through this keyboard. That's why to follow the PCI implementation guide, when you do your implementation, even your implementation is super important to making sure we're tightening down because you don't want the customer to get into, you know, any PCI or credit card related issues there. So, that said, I have 4 minutes left. I hope it's not quite boring for you guys because lots of the contents are existing. You know, the key takeaways is, you know, we have quite a bit of flexibility and we support a unified commerce architecture. You know, if you do test calculation in one place, you can use it everywhere, store, e-commerce, or call center. The most important is when you do customization, how we can work together to avoid the code merge. You know, not only just say the initial implementation based on customer requirements, but any future hot fixes on my side, on your side, we can start decouple and isolate it, and then we don't have to go to the code merge on that. So this is something we probably need to work together more and more on that in the future. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead. The question is, are there any plan to support a cloud unit? The skill unit, the retail cloud skill unit, I don't have that information yet. But one good thing we do is we heard the feedback from you. We do what you ask us to do. If you know Jeff Blucher, my peer, sent out, he managed something called User Voice. You can submit a request over there through the user voice, and then will influence how we do the planning on where do we, you know, spend our investment in the future. I don't have a date yet. I cannot answer your question on that. Yeah. Any other questions? I know it's late. Is it helpful or? I think there's still a lot more to go, and I think we need to do more. I mean, from Microsoft perspective, to make extensibility more simple, more sample code, more API. But we're trying. So 7.1 is still not released yet. That's what I showed is the retail. Store skill unit is part of the 7.1, but I need to put a disclaimer. until it releases, the product team has a, you know, freedom to, you know, remove the feature if we don't see the quality bar meeting that.
What is the timeline based on the roadmap right now?
Is it this year? The Dynamics 365 will be out pretty soon. I don't have the exact date. It could change, but it's going to be out pretty soon. We already reached one big milestone internally on that a couple of weeks ago. So, all right. Yeah. I'm really happy, actually, you know, you guys asked for this skill unit on-prem. Give you the hybrid, really give you the hybrid. Especially the same software, exactly the same software. Make it so easy to deploy, you know. If you guys want to hang around, I can show you how to deploy that in 5 minutes. Anyhow, so that concludes my presentation, and thank you very much, everyone. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have to show free IT Pro resources. And also the evaluation, yeah.